Welcome to the Power of Love Show, sponsored by the Dee Dee Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Power of Love Show, sponsored by the Dee Dee Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. I currently, and soon to be Taj, are here to hopefully provide some insight for you in 2024 to make life a little bit easier. 2023 was a challenging year for all of us, obviously more some than others, but here at the Dee Dee Jackson Foundation, our goal is simply to help ease some pain, help you get through difficult times, and to let you know that you are not alone. This is our weekly Power of Love show we do every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Yes, we are live on YouTube and Facebook. And you know what? Taj just joined in. And before I do my disclaimer, I guess I should do the disclaimer for us. So Taj, you're coming in. Here you are with me.
Yes.
It seems like you got an introduction for 2024, but it's all good. If someone deserves an introduction, it is you as the eldest brother.
Thank you. I was going to say.
I don't know what happened, but it was very unprofessional, but you are here. So
I had to log in. I had to sign in. I wasn't logged in.
I'm just messing with you. So anyways, for all of you watching, listening to us, you may be listening through a podcast. Again, you may be watching on Facebook or YouTube. Either way, it's important that we let you know that we are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who've experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it and we have learned from it. And what we like to do here is share our opinions in an attempt to help you get through whatever it is you are going through. Saying that if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Please do not just rely on us. So, Taj Jackson, it's been several weeks since we've done a show, and I guess it's important to kick off. How was the turn of the new year for you?
New Year's always incredible. You know, I don't know what it is about New Year's. I like the idea of starting afresh and anew in that way. The countdown and just everything. I'm a sucker for it. So, New Year's Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. It's almost like my Christmas in that way. So it's exciting. So I'm excited about this year, 2024, right? That's where we're at.
Taj, we are 2024 and I'm excited too. 2023 was challenging. You know, I'm in a phase in my life where I'm trying to slow things down, but also not get too complacent, but I'm trying to enjoy each and every day, you know, and making sure I'm as productive as possible. But you know, life is moving fast, and if we don't slow it down and enjoy the moment, we may miss some, and I'm getting very conscious of that. I think I've been a little too busy over the last several years, so it's something that I'm trying to get a healthier relationship on.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so that's the goal for this year, is to get a good handle on all of that, you know, not just the physical health, but the mental health. The mind health is what I call reading and stuff, but also the spiritual health. So that's what my goal is for this year, and that's what I've been easing into as the new year came about.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah. So I did the disclaimer, and anything else you want to share, Taj, before we have a special guest kicking off 2024, before we invite them to share the screen with us. Is there anything else you want to share?
No, just excited about 2024 in that way. Still have to get that in my system. But no, I just obviously, no matter what, just always appreciative of our community in general. As the holiday season happened, was able to go on Facebook and stuff like that. And just the amount of people we have in our community and the quality of it is just so incredible. Yeah. And of course they're doing work right outside as I say that, but I don't know if you can hear that, but yeah, the quality that we have and just the because not everyone dealt with the holidays the same way. There's a lot of loss for people in that. And I was just very proud of our community in terms of being there for people and that. And so it was a great reminder.
Well said, man. Well said. I second that completely. All right. So with that said, Taj, let's move on to our show. We have, like I said earlier, we have a special guest. On today's episode of The Power of Love, we are welcoming the one and only Kira Sanchez. She is a Chicago-based high school Spanish teacher, a wife, and a mom of two. After her mom unexpectedly died while on vacation in Italy at the age of 57, Kira dove deep into a grief journey where she channeled her unexpressed love in the form of a guided journal. Legacy Letters Guided Journal is a way to write and leave handwritten legacies of love, advice, and support for loved ones to ensure families all over the world don't have to face unexpected loss without a legacy left behind. The journal has been translated into Spanish, and Kira has since released a second journal titled No Legacy Lost, a guided memory and grief journal. Kira has a built-in community on Instagram where she pokes fun at her grief journey with relatable memes and some dark humor. And this year, Kira plans to launch her grief magazine, Get Griefy, as a community outlet for grievers to post their poetry, writing, art, photography, and more. Here today to share insights on personal grief experience, guided journals, and grief magazine. Without much further ado, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the Power of Love Show, guest number one for 2024, the one and only Kira Sanchez. Kira! Round of applause for you, Kira. First of all, should I be calling you Miss or Senora Sanchez?
Oh, yes, definitely.
I should, right? Okay, that's right, though, right? My brothers and I, we took Spanish in high school, and I remember Senora Sanchez.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure. I know.
It's one of the names I go by, yes.
Okay. Which one would you rather be preferred to be called today?
Oh, just Kira's fine.
Kira's fine. Okay, yep. Kira it is. So, Kira, again, thank you for joining us. Spanish is something that my brothers and I should know. Our mother was a Spanish speaker. Our grandmother was only a Spanish speaker. So we already commend you and look up to you because it's something that we should have, is the ability to speak Spanish, and we don't. With that said, and another thing I want to do is just commend you on being a teacher, especially a high school teacher at that. Yes. Teaching is something I've always thought about wanting to try or do. But as the years go on, it seems to get more and more challenging, at least for me, it seems like it. So I just want to share some love and commend you for being a teacher. So
thank you very much. Yes, I would agree with that.
Yeah. I think everyone would. It's a challenging time, you know, with everything going on and then all the technology and a lot of other stuff, but we won't get into that.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to know what motivated you to become an educator, and what made you want to focus your energy and your career on guiding and supporting our nation's youth?
So teaching runs in the family. My mom and my dad were both teachers. My dad recently retired, though, so he's just relaxing and enjoying his time off. My mom would have retired this coming school year, but yeah, just something I grew up with. I watched them do it throughout my entire childhood. And I just think it's a family-friendly profession. And it's really been exciting and fun to follow along with my students and their journeys in their life. I definitely still keep in contact with a select few. And there's one that, like, we're even working with closely now. He's also launching a magazine. So it's just like, it's really exciting, I would say, to be able to work alongside people that are from all walks of life every day and watching them grow. So cool.
So our heartfelt condolences to the loss of your mom, who passed suddenly. Our mother was taken from us unexpectedly as well. Yeah. I'm curious to know, how did the sudden and tragic passing of your mom ultimately inspire you to first publish, you know, to your, I should say to the creation of your first published work, Legacy Letters, a collection of guided journals.
So my mom died 5 days after my youngest daughter was born. So I was in the NICU, I was in the hospital with my baby. And so my grief journey was intertwined with postpartum, which is 0% fun. It was a very challenging and difficult part of my life. And being that I was on maternity leave, I was just ruminating and thinking over and over and over again about how many conversations my mom and I did not get to complete, things that I still wish I knew from her. My mom, in a way, kind of walked the footsteps that I was walking. Because when I was like 3 or 4 months old, my grandpa died. So she knew what it was like to be a new mom and then, you know, not have a parent around to kind of support you and watch you through all of those things. So I guess it was just a creation from all of the love that was left, all of the things left unsaid. And I knew how painful it was. So I didn't want anyone else to feel that. I knew for sure that I didn't want my daughters to feel that one day when they get older, and hopefully a long, long time ago or a long, long time down the road, I don't want to have to leave them unexpectedly. So I want to give them all of the tools in their toolbox that they need to continue life with joy. And so, yeah, that's kind of where it stemmed from. And then from there, it just kind of snowballed into all of these griefy things that I've been working with.
It's great. It's great. And we tend to think, our guests, when they're doing something and trying to take their grief and help others. When we lost our mom, it was grief is always an isolating feeling, but it didn't seem like we didn't have as many resources back when it happened in the 90s.
Yeah.
And we just want to send some thanks and love to you for doing that, because people who go through it today have so many more resources because of people like you. So a big thank you from myself, my brother, and our whole board and our whole community.
Thank you.
Who would you say the guided journal is for, like specifically? Is there anyone that...
I would say, honestly, it's truly for anyone that loves somebody, that has a message to share and wants to make sure that their legacy is left down. But I definitely would say my biggest supporters have been moms and dads that have little children, grandparents, people that have received a terminal diagnosis, and they want to make sure that they have that legacy written down for their family. And just people like reaching advanced age, you know, it's one of those things where you never know when your time is up. So you have to sometimes consider what you would like to say to those that you love. So anyone who has, I guess, thought about that ahead of time, that would be my target audience.
Yeah. In what ways would you say this journal impacted how you healed? Did it help in your grieving process at all?
Yes, 1,000%. And that's something that I've found is a very common thread with a lot of people who are grieving and then in a result has done something with their grief. It's almost been a therapeutic process. It's been a way to honor and still maintain that connection with that person, because although my mom's not physically here, I feel like I feel her guiding me through every step of the way, you know? And so I do feel like it was a way to process what I was going through. It helps me keep my mind occupied. I think grief, it's such a ugly word sometimes, and it gets such a negative connotation, and it can be very negative if you let it stay like inside of your body and let it rot you away. So I needed to have an outlet, a place to store it that was outside of myself, that I knew would also benefit the masses. So I do think, for sure, without a doubt, it helped me heal and grow and evolve. And I don't know, grief just changes you. It does. And
yeah,
I'm a different person now. So, yeah.
Yeah. I have a question in terms of, because obviously being a teacher, the natural progression was in a way, to make something to help others in that, because you're always teaching, you're always, that's your extension. But that is still a step that you had to take in terms of, okay, I'm going to take my grief and now I'm going to send it out to the, I'm going to give it to the world as opposed to my class in that. So how, what was that like in that way?
Like, do you mean like how was, well, my teaching?
Yeah. I mean, was that, did you, was that, were you worried about that at all? Or did, or were you like, that's what I've was, I mean, obviously you said the tribute word. So in a way that was what guided you in
yeah.
honoring someone.
I feel like it's just in my wheelhouse to think of a complex problem and think of a way to break it down for everyone. That's what I do at school all the time, right? We have all these lessons and goals and objectives that we want the students to meet. And I have to think of a way to make it simplified for everyone. And so I think that that's kind of what the journal did. Same with building community, right? That's something that I do in the classroom, and it's important for me to know my students and vice versa. So that's why through the course of my Instagram journey and talking about the journals, I have evolved to expressing and showing how I really feel, because that's how community is built, is just like being authentic.
Yes, definitely. And the reason I ask that is just because grief is not one size fits all. And so, you know, someone, it resonates, some solution could resonate more impactful for someone else than in that way. But yeah, that makes complete sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about doing the journal? Was there any significance in publishing it in Spanish for you?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm a Spanish teacher, so I was like, well, I feel like it's kind of an obligation. But actually, I grew up not knowing my ethnic background. My mom was adopted, and we always had our suspicions, but we never had confirmation of like where she came from. And after my mom passed, like about 6 months after she passed, I was able to contact my mom's birth family. And so I found out that I'm 50% Hispanic. She was from Mexico. So it's really cool that I'm able to create something that, I guess, again, honors her in a way that we never even knew she was associated with, like this whole culture. And so it's really beautiful. I don't know. It's funny that I ended up being a Spanish teacher. It's something that I've admired the culture and the tradition and the language for so long. And then all of a sudden it was just like a light went on and it's like, oh, surprise. Like this is actually, you're not looking through a window. That's a mirror. Like this is you. So it kind of feels like almost like an honor to be able to provide that for a whole group of people.
So cool. Now, you not only have one published work, you have a second published work. Yes. Called The No Legacy Lost. Mm-hmm. First question is, what inspired the creation for No Legacy Lost? And then how does No Legacy Lost differ from the first one, Legacy Letters? Sure. And finally, who is the intended audience for No Legacy Lost?
So No Legacy Lost is for people who are grieving, who have lost somebody very important to them. I actually created it. I had made conversation cards or memory cards. And we were using those to almost make conversation starters and bring up old memories of my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law also passed away. So my husband and I were living our lives, raising our two girls with like no grandmas. And it just broke my heart that my daughters are not going to know who their grandmas were. Mm. And so I felt like those conversations were super important. So I took all of those conversation cards and put them in the journal. And basically it's just supposed to invoke very specific memories about the people and the way that they live their lives. So my thought process was that after I fill it out for my mom or my mother-in-law, like when my girls are older and they're able to read, they could pull that book down from the bookshelf and they can read all of, like, it would almost create a picture of like what their grandma was like and explain all their different quirks and core memories that we had with them during our time with them. So that's who it's specifically for. And I know that, you know, when I first went down that road, I was scouring my phone, like looking through all the text messages and trying to find all the pictures and all of the things, because I didn't want a piece of my mom to disappear from my memory. Mm-hmm. And so I know that that's something that's so valuable to someone who's grieving, is storing those core memories and making sure that they're always there. So I don't know. I'm hoping it's therapeutic and helps people as they're grieving, just write down all of those memories and know that they're in a safe spot.
I think it's so, so great. I think it's and very important. Tori has a question. She asked, do you feel handwritten messages are more impactful?
I personally do. Yes. I remember last Christmas, because I didn't save a lot of my cards and things like that for my mom. And so this is a message to everyone, like any cards and messages that you have from people, save them because they're just so important. But I remember I was going through all of the old gift bags from previous Christmases and, you know, we hoard those, right? Because, hey, this is good. I can use it again. But I pulled out a gift bag that was from my mom and it said like to Kara, love mom and dad. And I remember seeing her handwriting and it almost like broke me, but it also felt so good to just see the way that she looped her letters together. And it just, I don't know. It is beautiful. The handwriting is beautiful. And so I know that there's all sorts of platforms that do this digitally. And if, you know, handwriting's not for you, that's totally okay. I think for me, the biggest message is that you leave a legacy. You need to leave something behind for your loved ones because they will appreciate it tenfold when the time comes and they are still able to remember you and honor you.
Yeah, I also think it's good for our youth to feel connected to something, you know, to a tradition or like you say, a legacy. And sometimes without those tangible items, we may not feel that connection as much. So I think it's great. I think it's super important to keep that connection alive.
Yeah.
Super important. Okay, so then you have another upcoming venture, which is the launch of your grief magazine, Get Griefy.
Yes.
So cool. I love how ambitious you are. It's super cool. Can you share more details about this project, including the inspiration behind the title, your mission, and what subscribers of your magazines can expect?
So something I've learned in this grief journey, again, grief is not one size fits all. And although there are parts of it that are very dark and very difficult and sad, there are other aspects of it where you still get to experience joy and you still get to experience happiness. And I think at the beginning, it was really hard for me to accept that. Like I felt like it was almost a betrayal to my mom to laugh and smile again. And actually one of my mom's friends, she had sent me a bracelet with like an intention card. And she just said, I prayed over this bracelet and I want you to know that like when you wear it, I want you to remember to be happy and to continue your life with joy and zest, like exactly how your mom would have wanted you to. And so I think that was like a light bulb moment for me that it's okay to grieve, but also express who I am at my core, which is a bright, bubbly, expressive, funny, goofy person. And so, I don't know, I think that that's what the purpose of the magazine is to allow other people to, yes, show up with their sadness and show up with their grief, but also show the world that grief can be your superpower and it can make you a very powerful person because it forces you to strip down all of the negative and unimportant aspects of your life and just focus on what's important, what's like at your core. And so because I've interacted with so many people doing incredible things with their grief, I was thinking like, man, this really needs to get highlighted more. And I know that occasionally the news and the media does that, but it's not consistent and it's not something that's continuously celebrated. And so I felt like the magazine was almost a way to create a community for anyone who's grieving. They can submit their work, they can submit art, photography, poetry, their signed stories, like anything like that. But then I'm also hoping to connect with, you know, higher profile people that have grieved and have interesting interviews and highlight people who have done really cool things with their grief. So it's kind of just like a hodgepodge of everything and just really creating a space for grievers that's not so sad and dark. So
I love it. Yeah. When are we expecting the first issue?
So the latest is February 1st. I'm really trying to get it out earlier. So we'll see. It's like 90% done. It just things keep rolling in. I think we're almost at 100 pages now. So we'll see how it goes. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm really excited.
Are we thinking monthly? What are we thinking?
Oh my gosh, I wish. But then I might be clinically insane. So. I think for now it's going to be quarterly. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I would love more than anything for it to evolve into something that would merit a monthly edition, but for now, quarterly. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
So cool. And again, thank you for providing this for the people out there. They need that outlet. And we always preach and talk about how art is such a great tool to utilize to help you get through your situation. So you just highlighting pieces of art will inspire people to do more art. And so a big thank you and shout out to you for doing that.
Thank you.
Really cool.
No, thank you.
Todd, did you have something you wanted to add?
No, I mean, this is, I'm obviously, you know, fascinated by the conversation in that way. You talked about it earlier in terms of teachers in general, and you know, I so admire teachers just in general, because it's a profession that is so needed, and good teachers in that way, and it's so unappreciated, you know, in our society. And so I just commend you, because you've taken grief, you've taken I don't want to get too them, but I just thank you for what you're doing in that way, because it takes a special kind of person to be in that space.
And to piggyback off of that, Taj, is a lot of kids, you know.
Oh, shaping the future.
Parents, yeah. Besides my parents, uncles, and a handful of coaches, because I played sports, it's the teachers that.
Oh yeah, we had a connection. All our teachers were so instrumental, more than they. I recently told a teacher of mine that probably didn't even know how inspirational he was to me, but I got the chance to tell him probably about 3 months ago in that way. And he thought I was kidding. I was definitely serious, you know, because I really wasn't even in his class. I talk about Mr. Hauser, TJ, for you in that way, but he's always been an inspiration in that way. And it's just how he's conducted himself and everything. And I told him that, and because I wanted him to know that it was important for me. I'm in that journey aspect of it, as you know, legacy does matter and all that stuff. And so I really do appreciate teachers and what they do to shape the future.
Completely agree. I have a question, Kira. Are your students aware of all the work you're doing in the grief space?
Some of them are. You know, to go back to what you were talking about a little bit in the beginning, it has become more challenging as the years have gone on, because some students, it's really hard to connect and make that connection with them, just because there's so much technology like in the way. And so you would actually think that would kind of turn in my favor, because all of my things are on social media platforms. But I think for them, the few that have discovered it, they think it's like kind of funny, and I don't think they really truly understand what it's for. And then I do have a few that they've experienced loss, significant loss in the past year or so. And that's been helpful, I think, for us to kind of have that connection. I know I had a student who lost her dad, so I gave her a memory journal, and that meant a lot to her. And then I have another student who lost a brother. And I just think it's really important to show your students that it's okay to be vulnerable, and it's okay to talk about these things. Like, it's my job to be the example. And so, yeah, I don't know. I hope that the ones that do stumble across it, they learn from it, and they see that it's okay that while grieving and going through tough times, you're able to poke fun at yourself sometimes. And also just consider that life is short, and it's important to live every day to the last drop. So I really do hope that, it does impact them if they stumble across it. So
it's super, super cool. So we didn't touch on it, but I guess we should make sure people know Legacy Letters and No Legacy Lost are available on Amazon. So you can go to amazon.com to get those. And then how do people get an issue or subscribe to Get Griefy Magazine?
So as of right now, Get Griefy is going to be completely virtual. Okay. And you can subscribe on my website. There's a subscription link that you can click on, and you can add your email, and it will get sent to your inbox.
And real quick, that website is?
LegacyLettersJournal.com. And okay, there cool. is a page for the magazine on that website. So it's all housed in the same spot.
Gotcha. So we can go to LegacyLettersJournal.com mm-hmm. and then subscribe to get Griefy there.
Yep.
Okay, cool. Anything else we may see? Because I also want to talk about Instagram. But before cool. we do, your Instagram profile. But before we do, anything else that we can get from LegacyLettersJournal.com or anything else you want to share about your world outside of the Instagram?
Let's see. I mean, if you go on the website, you'll be able to hear all of the other different podcasts I've been on. So if you're curious more about the story and what happened with me and my mom and all of that kind of stuff, that's all there. And yeah, I think that's it. I don't know.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So the last piece, I wanted to save it towards the end, uh-huh. is your Instagram. You have at Legacy Letters Journal and uh-huh. at Get Griefy Magazine. Mm-hmm. I unfortunately haven't had an opportunity to go check it out, but I've heard, and even in the bio, it's talked about dark humor and memes. How did you come across that idea to go that route when discussing grief? And then what kind of things? I want to pull something up. What kind of things do we get to see if we follow Legacy? Is it Legacy Letters Journal that we would
yep.
follow?
Yep. Or both of them. I started with the Legacy Letters Journal Instagram account to simply publicize my book and get the word out that my book existed. And it was just feeling, again, like doom and gloom a little bit, where it was just so much about the sadness that I was feeling. And while that's still like completely a part of me, grief is, again, has so many faces and it's multifaceted. And it's like a limiting belief almost to just think that grief belongs in this one dark black box. And so I just wanted a spot where I could laugh at the dumpster fire of my life sometimes. And it is kind of crazy. And it is overwhelming to be a mom of two young kids and be a teacher and not have my mom. And so I just feel like if anyone knew my mom personally, they would all just agree without a doubt that that's how my mom would want me to handle it. And that's how my mom was. Like, she was just a very humorous, bubbly, bright personality. And so I don't know. I just feel like I was being true to myself by exposing, like, that's how I was handling my grief. So, yeah.
I have to say, I think it's really cool. You won't be shy if I share a bit of it.
No, it's okay.
Okay. I have to, it's just too cool. So let me just share this real quick. Let's see if I can make this work. Yeah, there we go. Right.
Yeah. So
this one, anyone else wear their dead mom's clothes as a way to cope? Just me. I love this because you know what I love is that people have different ways to deal with grief. And yeah. if, like you said, if we just do it one way, then we're missing a segment of people. So, and I love this, 300 followers that get griefy. You're building a little brand, and I think it's amazing. When you realize your dead loved one isn't actually showing up to Christmas like you fantasized they would. So here for everyone, this is Legacy Letters Journal on Instagram. Kira's doing her thing there, so go give her a follow. I hope that was okay to share that on.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Okay, cool. I think it's great that what you're doing. And like I said, like I said earlier, just you doing it in your way, whatever your way, always please follow what feels right and fun for you to do, because you will find those people who need it. And we all need it, you know? So it's just really cool to see you doing your thing your way.
Yeah. Thank you.
Taj, did I cut you off, man?
No, not at all. We've talked about this in the past in terms of just always the honoring aspect of it, and honor, you know, the ones that you've lost in that way. And so, but you touched on it, Tia. You said basically that's and you did as well, Kira, in terms of that's what your mom, how your mom would have approached it. So you went up, and it's always, that's kind of how, when I do something, I'm like, how would my mom have done this, or how would my uncle have done this, or whatever. It's it feels good to encompass that when you're doing something in honor of them and through their kind of lens as well.
Yeah. And I feel like it just like maintains the connection. I don't know how to describe it, but it just feels like you're moving forward, but you're bringing them with you.
Yes.
Like a place in your heart that you'll forever save for them. And I don't know. It just, for me, it's what feels right. So yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Kira, I thank you for joining us, for spreading, you know, all of your insight in your world and your experience with grief. Taj and I have touched on it. You being a teacher, we commend you and thank you for that. Before we let you go, though, we like to give all of our guests kind of the final say. You could talk about anything you want, from your favorite song to favorite dance, favorite show on TV, or I should say on a streaming platform. Whatever you want to discuss or talk about or inform our students. And it, students, see, I'm already in the teacher mind. My brother is my one student I have, but anything you want to leave our community with, now is a wonderful, wonderful time.
So I guess I would give a song recommendation. Again, it's more of like a lively, keeping it fresh and keeping it upbeat, but a song that really helped me when my mom died, and it was kind of like our theme song for the whole planning of her celebration of life and all of that stuff, was Andy Frasco's Dancing Around My Grave. Mm. And so I would love for anyone who is struggling, or I don't know, having a hard time with confronting grief, I would recommend that song. And then something else that got me through, I guess, the beginning parts of my grief journey, and I wish I could quote it or attribute it to somebody. It was just kind of like a description of the way grief is you need to think of your grief as a book on a bookshelf. And at the very beginning, when everything first goes down, it is the biggest, heaviest, darkest book on your bookshelf, and everything else just falls down. And that's the only thing you can focus on. And what you need to remember is that book is going to stay on that bookshelf for eternity, for the rest of your life. Mm. But you will, again, eventually get your knickknacks and all your pictures and other books and other experiences back on the bookshelf with it. So it will balance out. But I think for me, when people would say like, oh, give it a year, it'll get better, that was almost discouraging because you didn't want to feel like you were forgetting them. So I feel like that's a good way to kind of honor what you're going through, is just remember that that book is always going to be there, but it's not always going to be the sole focus of what's going on in your life. And you're still going to be able to experience beautiful, joyful things. And you're going to make new memories that will go around that book on the shelf. So I don't know. It helped me a lot. So I'd love to share that with others.
Yeah. I've never heard that analogy, and I like it.
So it's a good one, right?
It's great. Very, very good. So a couple comments I want to go through before we let you go, Kira. April says, I can't wait for this. I've been realizing that reading gets me in a safe space on days when grief just hits me. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, April, you have subscribed let me make sure I get this right, Kira. You correct me if I'm wrong. Make sure you subscribe at legacylettersjournal.com. That's for our community and anyone else who's watching or listening to subscribe. And the other thing I want to say or highlight is Brenda, who says, thank you guys for giving us this community. You are more than welcome. Brenda, thanks for supporting us and being here. And then one more, and that's from Sophie, who says, please keep praying for Patty Royer. Mm-hmm. One of our beautiful members in our community isn't 100% right now, and we all need to send love and prayers and well thoughts to her and her family. So we just wanted to highlight those couple of things. Kira, is there anything else I may be missing or that I should say? I feel like I'm missing something. Am I not? No, we got the legacy letters and no legacy loss. We got Get Griefy, and then we have your website, and we did your Instagram accounts. So I don't think I'm forgetting anything. Is there anything I may have missed, Kira?
Well, I mean, I don't want to put you guys on the spot, but I would love to have you guys in the magazine.
Oh, okay. Ooh. You tell me how. All right. How would you want us?
I think I would just have to set up a little interview document with you guys. You can tell me your thoughts on grief. And I love to highlight your organization. I think same thing, like you guys are creating a space for people to express themselves through their grief. And I think it needs to get highlighted. So I would love to do that.
Well, after thank you.
Got yeah, it, that'd Kira. Be awesome.
Yeah.
You have it. No problem at all. We'll make that happen. Okay. I'm just reading through a couple others comments. And like Star says, and Kira says, grief is a lifetime journey. Mm-hmm. And I thank you for saying that, Kira, because that is 100% true. People who experience, you know, big grief or heavy grief for the first time, sometimes we get in a false sense thinking it's going to go away.
Yeah.
You know, we're decades past our first major grief experience, and it's still every day I think about my mom. And so it's something that you experience for life. And I think it's important to share that. Okay, Taj, am I missing anything else?
No, there's one thing that you said that was really interesting to me. It was about, because I think with grief, it's about the stigma is about leaving the person behind or whatever in that way. And you said, bring the person with me. And that really resonated with me, because that's naturally what I did with my mom, is that, you know, and my brothers as well, we tributed the album that we were doing with her. And now this, with this foundation, like, so she's constantly with us in that way. And I've never been able, I mean, I never thought of it that way in that, but when you said bring, that's a great advice that I'm going to tell a lot of people in that way, because you don't have to, it's not a cut and dry of like, oh, leave it. It's, they're always with, you can bring them with you in certain ways. And that was just, that resonated with me. Just, you just said it probably about 5 minutes ago, but I was like, wow, that's, bring them with you.
No, you guys are definitely doing that. And you know, her name is part of your vocabulary every day. And how beautiful is that, right? So I love that. It's perfect.
All right. I think that is it. Wonderful kickoff to the new year. And thank you so much, Kira, for being a big thank part you. Of that. Really, really, really appreciate it. I think that is it. We will close out the show. We will be back next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Kira, you stay warm, I guess, out there in Chicago. Taj and I will. Yeah, the weather here is pretty cool. I mean, it did rain today, but
okay, you're still representing the shy with your hat.
So. Yeah, I still am, always. But that's it, you guys. We will see you guys next Wednesday again. Kira, on behalf of my bro and our foundation, thanks for being guest number one of 2024.
Oh, I'm so honored.
All right, we'll see you guys later. Have a good week, everyone. Yeah. Bye.
Bye.